Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Right After Thrones here. Matt Datz, Tim Curry cooking it up here. Another preview pod for the people with much anticipation to Season 8. First of all, Tim Curry, welcome.
Datz, good to be here as always.
Always fantastic talking Thrones here. Another preview pod for us. Curry is going to spend the first part of this setting the table in terms of where we are at the end of Season 7, going into Season 8. Key things to look for, storyline, developments. Then we'll talk a little theories, as well as maybe a little predictions from the crew here as well. So, Curry, start us off. Season 7, set the table going into Season 8.
So, the big picture heading into Season 8, coming off Season 7, is obviously the living versus the dead. So, we have Jon and Daenerys, their army, versus the Night King and his army of the undead. We have two dragons, the Northern Army, the Dothraki, the Unsullied, and the Knights of the Vale, versus one undead dragon and hundreds of thousands of undead. I'm sure they have undead giants, undead bears, undead horses, hundreds of thousands of undead.
Undead Hodor,
as well as White Walkers, which we don't know the exact number of White Walkers, but there's not a lot of White Walkers that we've seen on the show. We've seen a total of somewhere between like 10 and 20 actual White Walkers.
Yep.
But we don't know how many there are. So, the battle will obviously take place at Winterfell to start. It could go further south. We don't
episode
know.
Episode 3, it's looking like.
In Episode 3, we have the Northern Army, the Living Army, will be armed with dragonglass weapons, possibly dragonfire from Drogon and Rhaegal.
Yep.
And some select few have Valyrian steel. We don't know if they're going to be able to make more or not. But definitely dragonglass, some Valyrian steel, and hopefully dragonfire.
Yes.
So that's the big picture. That's the living versus the dead.
Immediate picture.
So some other issues we have Cersei down south, with her army. She lied to Jon and Daenerys. She said that she was going to support them. Jaime was even planning, you know, his strategizing, his forces, how to get north. And Cersei said, we're not doing that. So she lied. She's not pulling back her army. She's not helping them. In fact, Euron is bringing the gold company led by Harry Strickland over from Essos to King's Landing to defend her forces.
And she says she's pregnant.
Yes, and she's pregnant with her and Jaime's child.
She says.
Yes, she says. And the big thing here that I wanted to touch on is we saw last season, Tyrion is the one who kind of brokered this deal between Cersei and Jon and Daenerys.
Yes.
And it was after he figured out that Cersei is pregnant, and then it cut away, and that was it.
Off screen. We don't like off screen in the show.
No, we don't. So that is the big question, is what happened there? Because, you know, we saw Tyrion before counseled Jon and said, you know, would it kill you to lie? Like, you could have lied to her.
Yep.
And that was when he refused to bend the knee to Cersei because he had already bent the knee to Daenerys.
Yep.
So we know Tyrion is okay with lying to, you know,
greater good.
For the greater good, to make things happen. So did Tyrion, is he betraying Jon and Dany? Does he know that Cersei lied? Is he, you know, switching sides because Cersei's pregnant?
Is he playing both sides?
Is he playing both sides? You know, who knows, but something happened there, and I hope we find out soon in the first episode. So Jaime went north, turned his back on Cersei. His greater good, he understands, is, you know, fighting for the living.
He's flying solo, too.
Yes, and he is alone. So Bronn's not with him. We don't know where Bronn is. We don't know if he's going to go north, if he's just sticking in King's Landing. And Jamie's going to have a lot of nice reunions.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to see Brienne. Obviously, that's a good one. He's also going to see Bran, who he pushed out of a window. But I feel like Bran will kind of understand, like, look, if you didn't do that, I don't become what I am. So, like, it's not your fault.
And what's Bran really going to do?
Yeah, and he can't really do anything. He could warg into him or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then also Jamie and Arya, Jamie and Jon. So that'll be interesting just to see how everyone kind of receives Jaime. You know, they're going to be skeptical at first.
We know he gets in the crew, though.
But yeah, we do know from the trailer that he does fight for the living and fight for the forces up at Winterfell.
Got it.
Another big thing, similar to, you know, how they react to Jaime, is how does the North react to Jon and Daenerys? How do the Northern Lords, you know, Arya, Sansa, how do they react to Jon showing up with this foreigner, this Targaryen, who, you know, the Targaryens, they killed Ned Stark's father and brother. You know, the Mad King tortured them, burned them. So, you know, I'm sure that's not lost on the Northern Lords, and I'm sure they're not looking forward to having to serve a Targaryen queen.
The last time they saw Jon was a big rally for Jon.
Yeah, they were all in on Jon, and now it's like, wait, we supported you, and now you're telling us we have to support her? Like, you know, it's going to be tough, I think. I think everyone's going to be skeptical.
You add in this love thing where I think, especially with the sisters of Jon, Sansa and Arya,
mm-hmm.
I think they could be thinking, like, what is this guy's, is he, you know, love struck?
Yeah, that was a recent quote from, I think it might have been Rolling Stone magazine with an interview with Arya and Sansa, with Maisie Williams, Sophie Turner. I think the direct quote was something about Jon was thinking with his penis. Direct quote.
Really?
Again, that's from the actors in the off season, not from off-season, you know, the characters themselves. Yeah, so they're trying to hype up the season, get people interested. But yeah, so just the Northern reaction to Jon and Daenerys, just the fact that he bent the knee to her. Forget about the rest of it for now.
Yeah,
the fact that he bent the knee, that's going to be tough for them to swallow.
Let me add one in there as well: Tyrion Lannister's reaction to the fact that he saw what was going down with them getting intimate.
I don't think. I don't think there's too much there.
You don't think so?
Other than the fact that Tyrion has that card that other people, that's something that other people don't know, so he could use that to his advantage somehow, but...
You don't think it's a big deal?
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge deal. I think people will find out soon enough.
That they're getting it on.
Yeah. But still in the North here, another smaller thing that we might see is just that... Robin Arryn, he's the Lord of the Vale. He's in charge of the Knights of the Vale. There might be some sort of backlash from him over Baelish being put to death by Arya and Sansa.
Mm-hmm.
Just a possibility. Again, like I don't think, you know, we saw the other Lords of the Vale, Lord Royce. Not the Lord of the Vale, but the other, you know,
higher ups.
Yes, the Highborns of the Vale. They were okay with it. But they didn't like Baelish to begin with. Baelish is kind of the only person that Robin really loved. So that could be something to look out for. Again, Robin is kind of a half-brain, so I don't think he's going to matter too much. But you never know.
It's worth noting, for sure.
A couple more things just to run down here in terms of a recap. The Greyjoys. So we know Theon is going to save Yara, who is recently captured by Euron. And we don't know exactly where they are. Yara was last seen in King's Landing, kind of being paraded through the streets along with the Sand Snakes, who were given to Cersei as a prisoner, but she kept, Euron kept Yara. So Theon has to go save Yara.
A little heroic.
Yes. I think he'll be heroic for pretty much the first time in the series. Maybe the second. Maybe he was kind of heroic when he helped Sansa escape from Ramsay.
Jumping out.
Back to Winterfell, Bran and Sam. So they're kind of the Northern Brain Trust, you know, the intellectuals.
Yeah,
the coaches. And they know a lot, obviously, that other people don't know. So big thing is, when will they tell Jon that Daenerys is his aunt and that he is the true heir to the Iron Throne, that he's, you know, the son of Rhaegar and Lyanna? Who else will they tell?
How will they prove it to him?
That's another thing. Yeah, how will they prove it? How do they navigate this situation? Because this is going to be a huge bombshell on Jon, on Daenerys, on the North. Like, this is massive information. And again, like, yeah, how are people going to believe it? You know, this is difficult. This is sensitive.
I hope it doesn't get glossed over.
But no, I definitely do not think it'll be glossed over. I think this is going to be... You know, episode one, I hope. I think there's going to be a lot of time spent on this and the...
Getting this.
Yeah, the emotions, the difficulties that this causes, you know, because I'm sure there's going to be concern that, Jon's the true heir. Like, we should be supporting him, not Daenerys. And then Jon has the issues of, you know, I just banged my aunt and Ned Stark wasn't my dad all along. And
yeah,
I like Rhaegar and Lyanna, like Robert's Rebellion was a lot. Like there's issues, so many issues,
beyond
here
issues
that everyone has to get their head wrapped around, yeah, you know? So especially Jon and Daenerys though. Another thing with Bran, is there anything else that he'll uncover? And same with Sam, was there anything else he'll uncover? But so, you know, Sam has the books, but Bran has basically like an infinite database of history that he can just kind of flashback to. Yeah. So if there's any, you know, huge bombshells coming this season, which apparently there's going to be a lot of twists and turns, but if there's any huge bombshells that, you know, no one sees coming, Bran is kind of a device that can introduce that.
Exactly. He is like the failsafe or the any, like, if we need to get, if you're a writer and you need to get anything that, any loose end tied up or anything introduced, like you said, this guy is your guy. He's a good trump card for sure.
Yes, exactly. And then just a couple notes here. You know, we kind of hit on all the main issues, but one is about the White Walkers. Is, you know, when you kill a White Walker, the other whites die. We saw that last season.
Yes.
So if you kill the Night King, will all of them die? That's, you know, something. I would imagine yes, but that seems like it's almost too easy, or at least not. It's not going to be easy to kill the Night King, but it seems like that's too easy of a way to defeat the army. You know?
Yeah. Like we're in the late stages of episode 3, 80, you know, 76 minutes in, and next thing you know, Jon gets a clean shot at the Night King. Everyone's down,
yeah,
and it's over. It seems a little weird, but it does seem like how it's drawn up.
Yeah, it seems like those are the rules. So, just some questions. You know, will Arya cross any names off her list? I think she will.
I think so. Over, under 1.5.
I would say under. I'm not really sure exactly who is and isn't on her list at this point. It has changed a couple times, but
yeah.
Between Cersei, the Mountain, and Melisandre, the Red Woman, I think she'll get at least one, but I don't know if she'll get two.
Got it.
But, you know, who knows? Clegane Bowl, I think we're going to get a Clegane Bowl. I think the Mountain,
I love that you think that,
and the Hound will face off. And I think that was really teased hard in the finale last season when the Hound walked up to his brother and said, you know, what did they do to you? And, you know, said, you know what's coming to you. You always have. So, again, that's kind of ominous. But I think that's teasing the Clegane Bowl. I hope we get it.
Do you think we get it?
I think we're going to get it. Who kills Cersei? So Cersei, in my mind, dead already. Mark it down. But who's going to kill her? You know, there's the whole Valonqar thing where it's like the little brother is going to kill her. So is it going to be Jaime? It's going to be Tyrion. It's going to be someone else's little brother. Someone else that fits this
is prophecy. Is it going to be Arya?
Yeah. Is it going to be Arya as Jaime or even as Tyrion, you know? I don't know, but that's just something we got to look out for. This is a big one. I'll save this one, actually. I'll do the smaller ones first. So, will Daario show up? We talked about this a little bit with our Valor Morghulis Madness pod, but I think that... this is a tough one. This one's kind of a coin toss.
There's no indication either way.
Yeah, like if he does show up, I think it's, you know, he's bringing the Second Sons over to help, you know, Daenerys's forces in Westeros. But you know, how will he know that? I don't know. It's, I don't know if he does show up. That one's a tough one to answer at the moment. If I have to have a take right now, I'll say he shows up. a couple more notes here. Melisandre, will she show up? Yes, all signs point to her showing up.
100%.
And then Jaqen or the Faceless Men, will they show up? I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say no.
I
would be happy to leave the Faceless Men arc behind, but you know, who knows?
Yes.
Is Daenerys pregnant? I think this is a big question. Again, they had sex one time, as far as we know.
I know, but...
Yeah, there's...
It wasn't exactly...
I don't know. I think she will get pregnant.
So, too.
Yeah, I think she'll... Yeah, I think Daenerys is pregnant. I think she's going to be pregnant by, you know, at some point in the season, and I think she gives birth to, you know, the heir to the Iron Throne.
I agree.
I don't know if it'll be boy or girl, but yeah, I think she's definitely going to have their child.
I agree.
All right,
on that note,
we have some theories we wanted to go through. And
yeah, I want to buzz through a bunch of theories. I want to buzz through a bunch of hypothetical questions. Just let's get some stuff on paper. I want people to, you know, get their minds thinking here. Do you have anything written down, or do you want me to start?
nothing in terms of like crazy theories. The only one was, this was a popular one in the offseason that showed up, was the Littlefinger theory.
Give me the Littlefinger theory.
So,
as if you believe the Littlefinger.
So yeah, so just to start, I don't believe almost every theory that I hear. These theories are crazy, and I just want to watch the show. I just want, you know, the show to, I don't want the show to get too far, you know,
crazy
off in the left field with these crazy theories. But so this Littlefinger theory basically is that Littlefinger is a faceless man.
Yes.
That he's got, you know, a great grandfather from Braavos, and you know, he whispered to someone, you know, he had like a servant working for him that he traded faces with before he was assassinated, and you know, Littlefinger is a faceless man and he's still alive.
Any credence here? There was that weird scene. I know exactly what you're talking about. Last season, before everything goes down, he has like a weird conversation with a nobody.
Yeah.
And then
like a random girl. He gives her a coin, which the person who came up with this theory thinks it might be, you know, like the faceless man coin, you know, Arya had. Look, I just don't see that happening. It just wouldn't make sense for that to be Littlefinger's thing, that he's a faceless man and he's been a faceless man the whole time. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. I think it what makes sense is that he's this guy who, you know, he's conniving and scheming and, you know, he's done what he's done and he got trapped in his own webs of lies and, you know, got beaten at his own game.
Caught up with him.
I prefer that to be the end of Littlefinger. But who knows? I mean, it's a good theory. It's well-researched and
you respect the theory.
Yeah, I respect that it's not just, you know, nonsense, but I disagree with it.
Got it. I'm going to play theory guy for some of these, and you debunked me here. This is, I almost feel weird. I almost feel bad saying these, wasting your time on these. Yeah, Littlefinger not dead. You hit. Let's start with a big one. Bran is the Night King.
Bran is the Night King. That is a huge one.
Facial features eerily similar.
Yeah, I kind of laugh about this one. I posted something earlier in the off season about, it was the covers in the Entertainment Weekly magazines. Both Bran and the Night King got one. I tweeted out, you know, it's funny that Bran got two covers. And yeah, like
some people loved it,
some people didn't. And I was joking, obviously. No, I don't think Bran is the Night King. Again, that changes the entire perspective of the show. I don't think like the way we look at the show is going to change this season. I don't think Bran is the Night King. I think the Night King is the Night King. He was, you know, one of the first men who...
Was he the first or was he one of the first? We don't know.
Yeah, he was one of the first men, and the children of the forest turned him into a White Walker because the first men were killing the children of the forest. So I think that's kind of... We've seen that on the show, and there's no proof that that's Bran. They have similar features, and people take screenshots that make them look alike. But no, I don't think Bran's the Night King.
Got it. Don't think Bran's the Night King. Got it.
They have a connection, sure, but no.
They both can do the... No, they both have similar...
Yeah, but no, Bran's not the Night King.
Got it.
Put it on the board.
Got it. All right, let's go to another... This is a classic Matt Datz theory here. Not that I came up with it or anything, but I do like bringing it up just to get on your skin a little bit here. Mira Reed. Let's talk Mira. Let me be the Mira Reed guy for a minute. You just debunked me here. The theory is, if you guys don't know, Mira Reed, Jon Snow, brother and sister, twins. I feel bad even giving this airtime here, but look eerily similar. This could be similar to the Night King brand. Make them look the same, even though they're not really that much the same. Same age. Curry, you know who was there at the Tower of Joy besides Bran yelling in the background, being a dunce, was Mira Reed's father, quote-unquote father. Same age, he was there. You know, Sep could be, twins were had, she dies. You know, having twins back then would add more complications to a childbirth. You separate them, and she's played a big role, and as you said in the previous pod, Leaf, one of the children of the forest, says, Bran needs you. We don't know how important that is, but it is out there. And for those of you who the heck's Mira Reed, she's the guy who's pushing Bran around right now, got him back to the wall.
She's Hodor. His wheels.
She's his wheels, for sure. So, Curry, I'm crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, this one, Like, it's again, it's a good theory.
It's sound.
It's sound. There's no, like, enormous holes in it. The only thing is, it just doesn't make sense to that this would be, like, the end game. Like, they spent the show and George R. R. Martin, they spent all this time leaving hints and building up to the big reveal of R plus L equals J, you know, that Rhaegar and Lyanna equals Jon. And I just don't think that all of a sudden they're going to decide, they're going to show us in one episode, like, Mira is also, you know, R plus L also equals Mira. Like, also as important as Jon. Like, I don't think.
Yeah. And I think the hole, if there's any hole, is what does it add?
I think the big hole is just that Jon has been important all series and Mira has not been important at all, except for
being
Leaf saying, you know, Bran needs you.
You're important.
Other than that, Jon has been so important the whole series. Mira, in comparison, not. So I don't think she's all of a sudden going to become important.
Got it. And I want to harp on this one thing, not Mira Reed related at all, but it's important to know that the showrunners knew how, and I think I'm going to come back to debunk a lot of theories, is the showrunners knew how the series was going to end from almost the very beginning, if not the very beginning. So think you're the showrunner in your mind. You know how it ends, you know how it's going down, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can get there, but anything that's going to be super vital to the end of the series, I think you would owe it to yourself as the guy making the show and to the fans to not have it become way, way out of left field and be that important.
Yeah, I mean, people have been saying for the past few seasons that the show has kind of gone downhill, just, and a lot of that has to do with not having their own source material,
you know,
not having George R. R. Martin's novels to go off of.
Correct.
More just, you know, kind of freelance in their own way to get to what Martin envisioned for them. But I don't think, like you said, I don't think they're going to flip the perspective of the show, the outlook on the show. I think, you know, the show is what it is. It's this, you know, kind of medieval, you know, fantasy world, but not, I don't think they're going to just bring in, yeah, I don't think they're going to bring in a huge curveball. You know, there's going to be twists and turns for sure, but I don't think it's going to be anything that flips it totally, you know?
Got it. Arya's the waif, just not true.
I disagree with this, because I don't think the waif would have a reason to go and do these things that Arya personally would want to do. Like, Arya went and killed the Freys, and, you know, I don't think that the waif would do that.
Arya's acting as Arya would.
Yeah, Arya's doing. These are Arya's motives, and this is what Arya wants. So not
got
the
it.
Waif
and there's no upside for the waif to be going around doing this crap.
No.
Got it. That's an easy one to dismiss. Let's keep going around here. This one's gotten a lot of play because of, and you'll tell us about some articles and all that. But Tyrion and maybe Varys, but specifically Tyrion, is a traitor this season.
So there's been a lot of talk amongst the cast in their interviews leading up to the season that this season, and the direct quote came from Sophie Turner, that this season is full of betrayal.
Full of betrayal. That's huge.
That is huge. And again, this could just be them hyping up the season. But I think a quote like that, a direct quote that it's full of betrayal, I think, you know, there's going to be, there's something to that. And the most obvious one would be Tyrion, just because he is a Lannister. He brokered that deal with Cersei and Daenerys and Jon.
He has off-screen action with Cersei. Yeah.
We know that Cersei lied. We don't know if Tyrion knows she lied. Like, so right there, I think Tyrion's the most obvious one who is set up to be a traitor. He could easily, you know, switch to both sides. Other than him, again, Varys has always been
for the greater good of the realm.
Yeah, for the realm. Not really, you know, rooting for anyone in particular, although he's been, you know, one of the driving supporters in Westeros for the Targaryens.
Yes.
But, you know, he could always switch sides. We don't know.
And I want to go back to Tyrion real quick. Some moves that he's made have backfired.
Yeah.
And he even gets questioned by Daenerys.
Yeah, he gets questioned by Daenerys last season. And he hasn't really proven to be the hand that, you know, he could be, that he...
As advertised, yeah, I mean, so yeah. He's supposed to be this kind of know-all, master hand. Also, he has that... And if he is a traitor, what's going to help him is this tidbit about the intimacy of Jon and Daenerys.
Where yeah, yeah.
He could drop that at any
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Like, that could be something that they're keeping under wraps. They don't want people to know.
Yeah.
And Tyrion could use that to his advantage somehow, or to Cersei's advantage somehow.
Got it. So Tyrion's a traitor's getting a lot of play. I don't know if I definitely believe it.
I mean, the only other, like, betrayal I would see would be, like, the North with Jon and Daenerys. Like, the North might say no, like, we're not going to kneel to this, you know, Targaryen queen. And then even especially when they find out Jon's also Targaryen, like, that could throw a wrench into everything.
Yeah. Or Sansa.
Yeah, yeah, Sansa especially.
Or Arya. I mean, I don't think I couldn't see Arya, but Sansa's...
Yeah, yeah. So I could see that being some betrayal. I could see Euron betraying Cersei somehow, just because he doesn't really have any
allegiance
to her. He just kind of, you know, he does what is best for him. I think,
exactly.
So.
All right, we touched on it. Let me go another Tyrion one. This is a sound theory. Tyrion Targaryen. What do you think of when I say Tyrion Lannister is not a Lannister? He's actually a Targaryen. Sound theory.
Yeah, this is a very sound theory. And again, I only reason I dismiss it is because I feel like there would have been more build up. But this one has probably the most hints throughout the series as opposed to some of the other theories. So obviously we've seen Tyrion interact with the dragons. That's huge.
Yes.
He's always loved dragons. He tells a little anecdote about how he wanted one for his birthday.
He said he always dreamed of dragons,
yeah.
Too.
So Tyrion, he goes down into the, you know, where they're chained up in Meereen, and he takes the chains off of them, and he thinks, you know, at first it looks like they might attack him, but he's talking to them, and they don't attack him. So maybe that's because he has Targaryen blood. Maybe it's because, like he hypothesized earlier, that they know he's a friend and they're smart creatures. So it's tough to tell there, but some other reasons that this could be true.
Yes.
So this theory kind of assumes something that we haven't seen on the show, but it's apparently in the books that the Mad King kind of had a thing with Tyrion's mother. Yeah, an obsession with Joanna Lannister,
yeah.
Tywin's wife, who died in childbirth. The Mad King kind of on Tywin and Joanna's wedding night, you know, the bedding ceremony, apparently the Mad King took some liberties there.
Woo.
He also, you know, Tywin ends up betraying the Mad King. That was part, you know, during Robert's Rebellion.
Yes.
Part of the reason why he fell. And a lot of that could be some animosity that Tywin had toward the Mad King for what he did with Joanna Lannister. Aside from that, some things we see on the show, Tywin's last words are, "You're no son of mine."
Correct.
And he always hates Tyrion. Is it because he's a dwarf and he embarrasses the family name? Maybe. Or is it because he's not actually a son? He's a Targaryen.
And he also said a huge quote. He says, "This is not verbatim, but he says, like, I've done everything I can to raise you as a Lannister because I can't prove that you're not."
Yes, he says, "I can't prove you're not mine." He says that at one point.
Huge.
So these are all big hints that it would make sense if they revealed that he was a Targaryen, because they've laid the groundwork with these hints.
Death and childbirth.
Yes, so we've seen Targaryens always have difficult childbirths. Dany's mom died in childbirth. Jon's mom died in childbirth. Tyrion's mom also died in childbirth, so that would make sense.
Three's a pattern.
So yeah, so this theory is better than most. I'm still going to dismiss it. I don't think Tyrion being a Targaryen would really... I don't think that's kind of like what the story is missing. I don't think that's the key to the ending here. I think him, you know, being a Lannister and being in the middle man, I think that's more what his role is this season. But again, it's a good theory. This is one of the better theories. So
yeah. The other question of all theories is, how do they become known to the characters on the show? And I'm having a tough time finding how this, you know, obviously there's the failsafe Bran, who could always go back and, I don't know, see this, but how does this get communicated to everyone that, hey, by the way, Tyrion Lannister is a Targaryen?
Yeah.
Tywin Lannister's not going to come after the dead and tell us, you know, what what could possibly happen to make this known to every character.
Yeah, that's the big thing with these theories is that, yeah, Bran is there. He's the device that could show, you know, the history of Westeros and could show these moments. But I feel like that's kind of a cheat code. Like, they already did that with Jon.
Yeah.
And that's that's something that everyone knew was coming, kind of. Like, that was the biggest hinted thing in the whole series. So I don't think any of these huge reveals are coming with these theories. But.
Got it. Here's another one. This is more of a big picture one. So episode 3, we're going to have this huge Battle of Winterfell. Going to be epic. Going to be crazy. Someone's going to win. Someone's going to lose. But then there's 3 episodes left and a lot of airtime, which, I mean, it's pretty much 4 episodes, if you say an hour episode. It's almost 4 hours, or maybe more, actually. There's some play getting around. Our buddy Paul LaRosa came up with this theory, I think on his own, probably from bringing together a bunch of other stuff, but mostly on his own, about how we have this Lord of Light, Fire King, you know, more on the I always call it like the bigger picture Westeros, like, religion type thing, theory. Any thoughts that we get, like, a bigger picture, you know, than just these Jon Snow, Cersei, humans, like, running around crying over this Iron Throne?
So that's something that it plays a big role throughout the series, like, religion and all the different religions, all the different gods, all the different powers. So I don't know. I don't think we're going to flat out see, like, you know, a higher being, like
Fire King.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see, you know, a fire hero reborn, you know, Azor Ahai, anything like that. I think we'll see kind of like maybe some symbolism, some symbolic
homage
figures. But I don't think we're going to see specifically like, all right, this, you know, Euron rises out of the sea. That's the, you know, he's now the drowned god. Like, I don't think that's something we're going to see. I don't think we're going to see, you know, I mean, Daenerys is probably as close as you can get to the fire god just based on, you know, the whole Unburnt thing, her emerging from flames multiple times. But I don't think we're going to see, you know, her flat out, like, calling herself, like, the fire god or any, or, you know, the queen of light, the lordess of light, whatever it is. I don't think, lady of light, that would be, I don't think we're going to see anything like that.
Got
probably like some symbolism.
Got it. And the other thing to go back to is and this is one thing I wrestle with a little bit, and I might give some more credence to something like this. It's just like the White Walkers were made to make, like, they're mad that they were made, I guess, is kind of like what is the White Walkers' beef? Like, what they want to see? They want to kill every human. Okay, I mean, that's what they were brought. That's what they were born to do. That's what they were brought into the world to do, was to help the Children of the Forest kill humans, kill men. Now they're going to do that. It's what it appears. They're coming down. They just want to kill men. But like their real beef would really just be with the Children of the Forest for starting this whole thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to,
like,
truly...
What's the motive of the Night King?
It's tough to get into that, into the motive of the White Walkers and the Night King. And we know that the Children of the Forest, they said to Bran, you know, we created them because of you, because of men. And so we know that, you know, there's one side of it is that their only purpose is to kill men, to wipe out men.
It's like in their DNA.
Yeah. The other thing is, this could be the Bran connection where, you know, she said because of you while speaking to Bran. Like, she didn't say, you know, oh, because of all men, or because of you guys, because of you men.
Y'all.
She said you. And this is because of men. So, like, maybe he's just coming after Bran. They have that connection. So maybe he's just coming after Bran. Another thing is maybe he's targeting Little Sam.
Little Sam
was, you know, promised, offered to him as a sacrifice to be turned into a White Walker, as Craster's sons are.
Always were, yeah.
So maybe he's coming for Little Sam. Maybe he's coming for Jon, because Jon and the Night King also have a connection just based on, you know, the interactions they've had before the encounters. You know, he looks right at Jon when he raises up his army at Hardhome.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just like the Starks in general. Maybe it's just that Stark blood, because the Starks are blood of the first men. So maybe it's just the first men. Maybe it's just the Starks.
Got it. And we put this poll out here. This is kind of a unique poll we put out. Night King specific. Do we see the Night King speak this season?
I voted no. I don't think we do.
I know some people are adamant that yes, and others adamant no.
We haven't seen a White Walker say anything. I think one like roared one time, but like,
yeah, made a lot of noise. The one was certainly making a lot of noise that was captured.
Yeah, that was a white, not a White Walker. I don't think we're gonna sit down and negotiate anything with the White Walkers.
You think it's just all out battle?
Yeah, I don't think we get any talking.
We don't get a brand Night King sit down.
No, I don't think so.
I'm just trying to bring up what the results of that poll were. 62% say no words for the Night King. So public agrees with you. 247 votes, so not a small sample size there. No words. So that's an interesting one for sure. And extra Polarosa for the theory there. Game Boy, you already said you think we're getting it.
I think we're getting it just because, and maybe it's fan service, but I think that would just be like the coolest thing, seeing the two of them go at it. And how else is the mountain really supposed to die? I mean, that just makes sense to have that. I don't know.
Got it. How about another big picture one? And this kind of goes to the George R. R. Martin thing we've been talking about. This whole thing ends lower. Like, this whole thing has been like Sam Tarly, like reading a book that he wrote, or like Samuel Tarly has taken these happenings, lived through them, and that's like what we're living through. I think there's actually kind of a chance this happens.
This is kind of like really big picture, like meta weird, type weird almost. I mean,
chance this series ends with?
Well, we did see last season. He says to Archmaester Ebros, he says to him, we know the Archmaester was working on like a history of Westeros, and he has some really long, like, ridiculous title. And Sam says, what about something a little more poetic, such as A Song of Ice and Fire? I could see Sam, writing the end of it. Is that the question? I don't know.
I guess that is the question.
Yeah. Like, I don't see this being, like, a fictional novel that Sam's writing.
I could see that in the end,
it turns out, Sam is writing the history of Westeros.
I think that's
what happened.
I'm in on that. I think that's what's going to happen, honestly.
That makes sense.
Got it. We talked about Sam's baby being the one that he's really after with Craster's Keep. Let's just buzz through a quick few more of these here. John versus Danny ends up happening.
So this is an interesting one. And again, this is kind of where John's lineage comes into play. How do they react to this? Because if, that's one thing that could separate the two of them is how they feel about that is if they find out John's a Targaryen, John's a true heir to the Iron Throne, does he decide that he wants it? I don't think he does, but that's just one thing. Like, John could all of a sudden get the support from Westeros that he's Rhaegal's firstborn son, or he's Rhaegal's son. He should be on the Iron Throne, not Rhaegar. Sorry, I'm saying Rhaegal, not Rhaegar's younger sister. And the other way that they could end up being at odds with each other is just if she kind of takes on the Mad Queen role that people kind of have seen in her. And that's just, she's shown several times that she was merciful at one point in her life, but she's kind of gotten away from that. She crucified the masters over in Essos. She burned Sam Tarly's father and brother and the people who, the armies.
And Tyrion got on her about it.
Yeah. Said, that's something that your father would have done. So if she, gets into this kind of Mad Queen role where she wants to burn them all, something like that, we could see John, step in and disagree with her, and that could lead to John versus Daenerys. I don't think we're going to see it. I think it seems very clear that the two of them are more likely to be romantic partners in the end than enemies, but it could happen.
It could. And we see, we see in a lot in the series that she thinks it's like, it's hers. Like, this is like, she's dead set.
Yes,
like, I was born to do this.
She is a conqueror, a ruler. Like, this is what she's born to do.
And it's in her head.
She's going to take it any way necessary.
And no one, it doesn't matter if Jon Snow says anything, it doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter if Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah, and then, like, Jon, his motivation the whole time has just been the greater good for humanity.
Yeah,
and whether it was the Wildlings.
Humble guy.
He's always been, for the greater good of people, of the living. Like, he, you know, and whereas she is just very, this is my throne. This
power,
is
almost
my,
power hungry. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we, you know, if we don't, if you, you could spin it, this lady's, you know, very power hungry. How many dragons dead at the end of the series?
I think they're all dead. I don't think that the dragons can survive in this world, you know, post-battle. I think that they're too powerful, and I don't think this is...
Only way the dragon lives is if Dany's on the throne, and she's kind of just, like, chilling there. But I don't think we came all this way to get a Westeros that is kind of run by Daenerys Targaryen and her dragon or dragons. Just, like, sitting there as, like, you've said before this, the, like, the atomic bombs. Like, okay, that's just how we're leaving it. I don't see it either. I think they're all cooked, one way or the other. Jon versus Dany, we hit. Arya kills Cersei. Arya, and I'm going to add into this, Jaime dies in battle. I've seen this a lot of play. Jaime dies in battle. Arya takes his face. Cersei's on her list. She goes down, and she kills Cersei. And the reason she's running in this trailer is because the Mount and the Kingsguard, or Queensguard, I should say, are after her. She's got the bloody face. Something went wrong, either amiss with the face and Jaime. I mean, I know this is five steps down, but I think I buy it, actually.
So I'm out on this theory.
Okay.
I think Jaime deserves to be the one to kill Cersei. I don't think Arya as Jaime is like does justice for Jaime.
It does. There is it does do justice for that prophecy, though.
It kind of does, but I don't know. I don't like it that much. But just to touch on Arya running. So a recent theory I saw, and I really like this one compared to the other ones I saw, is that the reason she's running is because, and you see the big gash on her head. The reason is that she like fell or got hit in the head and got like knocked unconscious during the Battle of Winterfell, and wakes up and like no one's there but like Whites or something like that. No, she's running from Whites and she's all alone. So I feel like that makes sense for her being so scared. It makes sense for her to run instead of fight if she, you know, wakes up and she's just alone. So just a theory I saw that I like. I don't know if that's how it'll play out, but I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, I like the whole Jaime Lannister's face off her face. She killed Cersei, but she's getting chased by the Mountain. Would love that. And I think it actually might happen. Quick few more ones. White Walkers win it all.
No, 0% chance.
0% chance.
That's not what they wanted to do with this story. I
think 0% too. A lot of people.
I can't see that being what they do.
Got it. And let's make this last one. How many Starks are living at the end of this show?
That's a good question. I think right now we have, if you count Jon, we count Bran. So we got Jon, we got Bran, we got Arya, we got Sansa. That's it for Starks. Mm-hmm. I think we only lose one of them. If I had to say who it was, I would say it's Arya. But
I agree.
But I could also see Jon going down. I really think Sansa and Bran will survive, but I would say one Stark dies during the season.
Got it. Anything else you want to get to before we shut this down?
No, I mean, I'm really looking forward to the season. I don't think we're going to get any more. We did get a little bit of a trailer today, which is mostly just things we've already seen, but yeah, I don't think they're going to give us anything else. I'm really looking forward to this season. And breaking down the episodes with you right after.
Yeah, we're getting some real content to talk about, not just, you know, a bunch of nothing. So another good pod, preview pod. Don't think we'll do another one before we get started. We cannot wait for the content to come out for us to react to. We will always react to it on Twitter any day of the week at right after GOT. And then always Sunday nights right after Thrones. We'll be here live. We'll put out the link. Then on Monday mornings, you can also listen on your commute, whatever you got to do. Curry, all good?
Good.
Let's do it, man. See you after episode 1, right after Thrones.